Would you please welcome everybody watching us via live stream from around the world? Welcome our online church. Over the last couple of weeks, we introduced the message series entitled Mind Games. The conversation has been devoted to this idea that our hearts and our heads need to come into agreement so that we can live the life that God has called us to. And over the last few weeks, I've really enjoyed being able to talk to you about getting your head and your heart in the right place. Tonight, I'm going to take about 20 minutes to share the word. And when I'm done with that, I'm going to invite you for a few extra minutes of prayer. The topic is such a big deal for me. It radically changed my own life that I hope you'll experience the exact same transformation in yours. There's a passage of scripture in Galatians. Galatians is in the New Testament, and it's not on the screen. So I'm just going to tell you what it says. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 1. It's an incredibly powerful scripture because it says, "O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Having started out to run the race well, who has intercepted you and taken you off course?" The reason why that passage of scripture is so incredible is your life can be doing really well, but something or someone can get into your head and mess with your direction. Now, you don't have to nudge a friend next to you, but if you've ever had that experience, you can just say amen or breathe loudly or just be in agreement. Have you ever perhaps been in a friendship or in a relationship which drew out the very sunlight of every summer day? You know what I'm talking about. You did well, but there's a period in your life you just want to blank out. There's a period in your life where you just kind of say, my life was on pause or even in reverse because something or someone got into my head. I want to encourage you that you can be born again and in bondage. Not because Christ hasn't finished his work, but because you have allowed something that shouldn't be there. And over the last few weeks, the point of the conversations, I just want to remind you what we've been talking about, because you can download this or listen to it on YouTube or SoundCloud. But we've been talking about, firstly, that Jesus is the clever one in our relationship with him. I wanted for you to know right at the beginning of this that from time to time, God's will and your will won't seem the same. And whenever that happens, let him win. That's called sovereignty. Whenever your will and God's will clash, if you want peace in your life, let him win. Now, he's never going to, like, get you. You know, God's not angry. He's patient. But if you don't have his will operating in your life, other stuff will get you. Jesus is not the problem in our situation. Some other kind of a desire might get you. Some other kind of relationship might get you. Some other kind of financial situation might get you. By get you, I mean pull your heart down. Get your head in a bad space. Have you ever been in a situation where your head's so frustrated that the most peace you can get is when you can kind of lie down for a few minutes, and even after a little while, you start thinking about the situation again, and you start thinking about what you should have said and what you should have done, and if you see them again, you're gonna say it and you're gonna do it, and then you see them and you don't, and you stutter, and you take another situation to think through. How do you stop the cycle that pulls your life into the wrong space? You got to let God's will prevail. In that moment of temptation, Jesus is at the Garden of Gethsemane. He kneels down and he says, "Lord, I'm really anxious about the suffering I'm about to do. And if it were up to me, I'd ask you to take this cup from me, but not my will. Your will be done." And I guess the quicker you get your head into that space, the quicker you're going to live in the joy of the Lord, which becomes your strength. The second thing we talked about last week, so the first week we introduced this topic, we talked about how Christ is the clever one and in charge. Last week, we talked about the significance and the importance of pulling everything in the right direction, in the same direction, that God has a destiny and a purpose, and not only your heart must be there, but so should your mind. Have you ever been told by someone that a friend has a good heart? Usually, when someone says they've got a good heart, it's not a compliment. What they mean is they're well-meaning. They mean they're sincere, but sometimes silly. I don't want for our Christianity to be about people who have a good heart, but we're a bit mindless. Can you say amen to that? Your mind must also be on the journey of the destiny God has for you. You've got to think things through biblically. Tonight, I want to demonstrate to you from Scripture perhaps one of the most important parts of this shift that you need to make, you need to trust God for, so that your mind can come into agreement with your heart and your spirit. And this is the idea I want to share with you. You need to eradicate from your thinking anything that suggests you lack something and are waiting for God to give it to you, and instead start to receive the idea that you have everything you need and must get rid of stuff robbing you of what you've got. This is a key idea. Jesus has already given you everything you need to live the life God has called you for. I know some of you are sitting there thinking, if you knew me, I don't have a strong will. I don't have a determination. I don't have some of the things you're talking about. That's not true. You've got everything you need from Christ, but something's robbing your will. Something's robbing your determination. You don't need to beg for joy. You need to get rid of the things that are destroying your joy. And the minute you do that, joy will spring up supernaturally in your life. God's not still thinking about whether he wants to bless you. God is blessing you abundantly and supernaturally, but you need to start looking around in your life and thinking, what's taking my joy away? And get rid of it. Now, if you're married, you can't use this explanation in an argument. You can't say to your wife or your husband, as Pastor George says, you are a joy destroyer in my life. Please don't do that. I don't want to get emails about that. But if that is the situation, then both of you need to allow God to intervene in your life. If you're in a relationship and it's been going for a little while and most of the time it destroys your joy and you are not married, I know some of you are thinking, Pastor, I can pray it right. That's probably true, but why don't you start with yourself? Pray yourself right. Because misery keeps company. And sometimes it's necessary for us to step out of that so that we can walk in the joy of the Lord, what God has placed in our lives. You get your head right when you stop thinking there's something wrong with you and God needs to give you something to fix it, and you start realizing, I have built certain beliefs, or what we in the Bible language refer to as strongholds, and I need to break those strongholds. So here's the definition for you. A stronghold is a belief or an idea that you hold to be true, but it is not biblical. And when you have a stronghold in your life, no matter how many times somebody talks to you about it rationally, you reject the rationale because you believe it is true. And some of you tonight have beliefs in your heart that are not biblical, and they're ruining your life. You believe you can't prosper, and it's not biblical. And it's ruining your life. You believe no one would want you. And it's a stronghold in your life that even when people show an interest, you reject them because of your belief system in your heart. If you will let Jesus break that wall down, you'll let your heart open up and you will live in the fullness of who God designed you to be. I guess I should take you to the text on the screen. 1 Peter 5:8 says, be alert and sober-minded. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. You need to acknowledge that concerning the space in your mind, you have an enemy. And your enemy is not a friend sitting next to you or a partner or a business or the economy or our country. That's not the enemy. The enemy is the devil. Get that right so that you can set your mind in the right frame of thinking. 1 Corinthians 3:6-10 says, I plant, Apollos waters, but God gave the increase. So neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. Now he who plants and he who waters are one, and each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building. According to the grace of God, which was given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds. This is the principle I want to share with you tonight. That firstly, God wants for you to give him something to work with. God wants for you to give him something to work with. Build your life with the right building materials. If you allow rubbish into your heart, rubbish into your mind, you're going to spend all day trying to separate what is good and what is not. If you close the door to those things and only allow godly thinking, an attitude of praise and thanksgiving, you will become a joyful person. It's not a supernatural thing, really. It's a cleansing thing. You have to close your heart and your door to certain things and open them to others. Tonight, your joy is simply draining away, and not God needing to add it, you needing to close the draining and the tap that causes that. Here are a couple of ideas on how you can do that. Firstly, you need to allow God to plant some seeds of righteousness in your heart. Let him build your life biblically, not just critically. That critical spirit that some of you have encountered in life, just end it. You've heard some things said over you. Stop them. Don't allow anybody to speak over your life something that is not in Scripture. Tonight, I'm going to pray over you in the strong belief that those things somebody planted in your heart can be uprooted. Sometimes boyfriends, girlfriends, fathers, mothers, not always malicious, but sometimes just a word put in there has stuck and it has started to grow and now you believe it. And Jesus will come and uproot everything that does not bear fruit. Don't allow your heart and your mind to become fertile ground for fruitless things. I remember some years ago reading a book I'd shared in the morning service about this. One of the most powerful ideas I want for you to also experience. I'm praying that you'll also experience. So I read this book. All I wanted to do as a pastor was to grow the church as big as I could to glorify God. That was the goal. Lord, I'm going to give you my life and what I want to do, would you please use it to make your name great? And I tried to read everything about it. All I asked was, how do you grow a church? Do I need to be taller? Do I need to be more Greek? What do I need to do? And this book's entire advice was quite the opposite, and it radically changed my life. The book basically said, stop asking what you need to do to grow a church. Start asking what's stopping your church from growing. Because God wants living things to grow. So you need to stop asking yourself, Lord, what do I need to do to grow? You need to start asking yourself, what's stopping me from growing? What's stopping me from being the divine destiny that God has placed over my life? Is it an attitude or a mindset? Is it my response to negativity? Is it the way I see myself? This is the particular area I wanted to get to tonight. If you can't see yourself blessed, you will reject every blessing God is sending in your life. Because when you see a blessing come, you'll say to yourself, it's not for me, it's for somebody else. And you'll walk away from the blessing that God intended over your life. You need to also start to declare that every negative experience has a God-ordained positive outcome. Years ago, some of you will know this story, when we were in Stanley Street in Central in Richmond Hill, I loved Stanley Street. How many of you were there? Just a quick, okay, front row. I loved Stanley Street. Stanley Street, yes, it was 5 services on a Sunday. That's true. And the number of seats in this building are more right now than the total of all 5 put together. It was very nice because we would do the services and then walk over and get some sushi. It was so upmarket. And then we would walk back and we'd do 2 more services. I loved it. It was so nice. That little patch of ground in front, planted 3 trees. One is still there. I saw the other day. It was amazing. And then God moved upon the neighbors and got them upset with me. Well, with all of us, but I was the face. Some of you don't know the story of those days. I'd arrive at 5 o'clock in the morning for getting ready for our first church service. I'd close the door and someone would tag me on Facebook, one of the neighbors saying, he has arrived already. Like, ah, I would like it. And then he would block me. And then it was a whole thing, like, why tag me? It was a whole thing. One day, they let the tires out of my car. I didn't really mind. It was a Sunday, so we were there the whole day. all it meant was when church was finished at about 9:30 p.m., 10 o'clock, that's when we started changing the tire. And we were noisy about it. Then he was upset about, it was just one of those things. Then the police came and they fined people who parked badly. Thank the Lord they don't come here. And then... It was just subtle counseling there. But they came and they find us. And then another lady came and she listened to the loudness of the music. And then they find us some more. And I started thinking, Lord, why do sinners' ways prosper? That's a quote from the psalm, by the way, in case you're wondering. Lord, why? Why have you done this? Where is my breakthrough, Lord? And then we landed up in the newspaper. And that's when they renamed me by mistake. They were supposed to say Pastor George from Father's House, and they said Father George from Father's House. And now I'm Father George wherever I go. It was a spelling mistake. I'm not even joking, that literally happened. And then just as I thought I was finally free from that label, I was at some mayoral thing, and I know the mayor's not yet tonight, so I can say this, but and he's commenting on various things, and he would just like to thank his pastor, Father George. Now it's stuck. I guess my singleness should count for something, but there was just no breakthrough. I was so disappointed in the Lord, and then it was in the paper, and I was more disappointed. And here's the thing I had no idea about. I had no idea that Jesus, having already prepared a different plan, was trying to kick me out of my preference so he can put me in my purpose. Would you please allow Jesus to kick you out of your preference? I know you prefer that. I know you would love that. I know you would really appreciate and love or enjoy this or that. Just put your preference aside and let him unveil your purpose. Because let me tell you, my own mind could not have conceived what God had purposed for us. And I remember getting to this building and thinking about this as a church building. And we arrived here, and the building did not look like it does now. It had been flooded. And we were walking around, and then we discovered that the water was running over an electrical board and was therefore charged. We had to get lights on using a stick. We fixed it since. Okay, it's not like that. It's actually now the kids' church area. But, but it's safe. Safe. Pigeons were living in here. They still do, but we keep them there by the bathroom section. And we ask them very nicely to go there every Sunday. But and pigeons lived there. And then I asked the neighborhood. I asked the church. I said, what about this neighborhood? And so many people in the church said, no, you can't go there. It's wild there. North End. You hear gunshots all the time. Now, I must be honest. I thought about that, but it didn't seem like it was a problem to go to the stadium. You know, you go 7 p.m., you leave 9 p.m., you get to your car 10. That was fine, but church on Sunday morning, chaos. The principle is this. If you allow some of those things to get into your head, you're not going to take any steps of faith, and you're going to lose out on all the incredible destinies that God has in mind for you. Because you've allowed something to dominate over the thinking of your mind that is not biblical. Who got into your head? Get it out. Get it out. Do mind maintenance. Take a few minutes and make sure that weeds aren't growing in your mind that are unbiblical and unsound, that are preventing biblical seeds from growing. God has something better in mind for you. You need to get the mind of Christ. Our thoughts are not like his thoughts. Our ways are not like his ways. They're much higher. And one of the great challenges is God puts vision in our hearts for our lives, but it has to go through our mind before we will take action. And for so many of you, I've experienced this also. You have a great dream, but you struggle with the energy to get up and get it done. Let's ask the Lord to remove the things that are taking your energy away and fill you instead with an enthusiasm for what God has in mind in your heart. It's a frustrating thing to have a dream in your heart and lack the will to step out and receive and believe it. You've got to be able to do that. in those early days, I said I'm going to end, so I've got a minute because I want to pray for you. In those early days when church first moved to this building, I know it's my world, but you'll relate it to yours. Church got quite big, and I can see most of the faces up to about the camera, and then after that, I can't see the faces too well. Not because I'm blind, it's just dark. I thank you so much for always greeting and calling me Father George in the shops. I love it. And I get to meet you there, but I can't see the face. And for some strange reason, that was something I battled with at the beginning, because I used to make the coffee at the door and I meet a lot of people like that. But then it became harder to meet a lot of people. Something got into my head saying things were too big. The church had gotten too big. And I struggled with it. I actually went and saw a friend about it. We started talking about it and praying about it. And he was quite direct. He was so helpful. He said, well, the gospel is not about you. The gospel is about reaching people. At what point is that too big? You need to start to receive the vision that God has put in your heart. And you need to get your head in submission to what's going on in your heart. I want to talk to you today that you will not speak yourself out of God's plan for your life. Don't talk yourself out of it. Don't say, things are too big. I can't handle it. Things are disruptive. It's too much pressure. I can't take it. Stop saying that. That's not true. In Jesus' name, you can take what God has given over your life, and not only that, but even more. And in your old age, you will one day say to the Lord, give me another mountain so that I can climb it. And give me another enemy so I can defeat it. And give me more territory so I can establish it. Stop talking yourself out of it by reiterating, I don't know if I can handle it. I'm listening to, have you ever, I'm ending now. Ever watched Naked and Afraid? Don't. Okay, but I did the other day. I hadn't realized how long they were in this thing. And these two people were talking about they're going to die. They haven't had protein. Their hair's a mess. They tried to hunt some poor critter and it ran away. They're exhausted. I don't know if I can take the heat anymore. I'm going to die. Then they found a pool. They sat in the pool. I don't know if I can take the dirt in the pool anymore. The point was, they got to the end of that section of moaning, and then it cut to commercial, and it came back. Day 3. Were you dying on day 2? I mean, on day 2, you couldn't. I mean, of 21, you're dying. The heat and the cold and the, come on. Now, I'm sure someone's going to email me and say, you have no idea how hard it is. You signed up for that. All I'm saying is, if you keep telling yourself, I can't take this, I don't handle it, I can't. I have watched people get divorced, have affairs and get divorced because they spoke over their life saying, I don't deserve her. And when you say stuff like that, you give yourself permission to behave at a lower level. Every time you say, I can't handle that, you're giving yourself permission to behave at a lower level. Stop it. You're preparing your heart to compliment yourself for failure. Don't do that. Don't do that. God has given you a spirit of faith, of victory, of more and more, of increase. How can you talk yourself out of that? It happens in the mind. The battlefield takes place there. You need to bring your mind in agreement with the Spirit of God. And if you can do that, God will open the windows of heaven and flood them over your life in a way you couldn't imagine. Can you say amen to that? Could you stand with me as we take a moment to pray? Connections team and coffee shop and welcome lounge are all exiting now. But would the rest of you give me a minute or two, please? I'd love for you to enjoy the conclusion of a process that includes a prayer. And while those guys who serve us hop out, we're just going to take a minute or two. Thank you, Marilise. Would it be okay if we spent just a minute or two praying that God will break strongholds in our minds that are giving us permission to operate at a lower level. And to ask God to destroy those strongholds and allow seeds of biblical righteousness to grow in our hearts, that we'll think in a biblical way so that we can function and fulfill what God has called us to do. Your life should not be filtered through a dirty mind. It shouldn't be filtered through a broken mind, and it shouldn't be filtered through a dark mind. Your life should be filtered through the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. If it's not worth keeping, let him kick it out. If it is, let him anoint it. So Holy Spirit, we ask that you will do surgery in our minds tonight. Lord, we pray that there will be a renewing by the transforming of the mind. We pray, Lord, that you will teach us we have what we need because of your presence, and we reject anything that will rob us of what we've got. Tonight, will you supernaturally remove the dirty filters, the dark filters, the broken filters over our lives, and help us to see the world, and our lives as you originally designed it. Tonight, Lord, I pray that you will set people free in their minds. In the name of Jesus. Some of you are going to sleep well for the first time in years, because stuff you've been carrying is going to be left in this auditorium. Some of you have navigated and wrestled and argued. And by the way, while we're in this moment of worship, I just sense the Lord. I don't often go this way, but in worship, I kind of knew we were going to go here. I knew in worship, and I was in too much, but I'm clear from the Spirit of God. Some of you are allowing your husbands or wives, your children, your careers, your friends to suffer because of stuff going on in your mind. They pay the price. They pay the price because you're explosive. They pay the price because you're depressive. They pay the price because you're uncooperative. They pay the price because you've become lonely and you blame it on a personality type. And that is not biblical. And other people start to pay the price because you are living under a cloud. And just respectfully in this moment, while everyone's eyes are closed, if that is you, you know you're hurting yourself and others because of stuff going on in your head, I'd love to just pray with you where you are. I'm not going to invite you forward. I think that would disrespect the integrity of your confidentiality. But just where you are, will you just raise your hand and say, that is me. Other people pay the price for where my head is at, and I pay a price too. Now, Lord, I pray that you will break every chain in Jesus' name. For some, it comes through the generations. For some, it's from fathers and mothers and grandfathers and grandmothers. It comes down the family line. For others, it has been picked up through an incident, an offense, a situation, an insecurity. No matter the source, we cut it off at the root in the name of Jesus. We close the door to its continued poisoning in people's spirits and souls. We bring it into attention and under submission to Jesus Christ. We pray, Word of the Living God, would you come and cut off from us those tumors that have attached themselves to our minds, those toxins that have been released and poisoned our every thought, who have bewitched us. I break the power of that in the name of Jesus. Now I ask that you will allow the joy of the Lord to flood our souls, the peace of God to rule and reign, and the strength of the Holy Spirit to come upon us so that we will stand our ground all week. And as the days go by, we will say, I am free, for the Son has set me free indeed. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, would you give God a shout of praise and worship? I'm believing that over your life.
Thank you for listening to another Father's House podcast. For any more information, please visit our website at www.fathershousesa.org or connect with us on any one of our social media platforms.